Hey, thanks for joining me today. My name is Jim Cockrum. This is Silent Sales Machine Radio, and we're going to spend a few minutes together today talking about why in the world people would ever pay so much more money for the convenience of shopping on Amazon when they have multiple other less expensive options. Let me start the episode this way with a little riddle for you. The question this occurred to me as I was listening to today's episode, because Brian and Robin Joy, two of our great coaching leaders, they actually do the bulk of the episode today, and I enjoyed it before you had a chance to listen to it. But one of the examples that popped in my head was, there's actually a place here in my hometown. This place really exists. I'm going to see if you can figure out where this is, where you can get an item completely free. Just walk up and grab it. Completely free. It doesn't cost you anything. And just a couple hundred yards from there, there's a business selling that exact same item for several dollars. Isn't that an interesting scenario? Completely free at one place, take as much as you want, and then several dollars at very successful, profitable business, just a couple hundred yards from that exact spot. I'll tell you where that is in a minute. See if you can think about it and figure it out while we get into the introduction for today. Like I said, my name is Jim. This is Silent Sales Machine Radio, and our podcast typically has episodes that feature successful students from the Proven Amazon course, which is the longest running Amazon seller training course in the Amazon selling space. We've been doing this a long time, guys, over 14, coming up on probably 15 years, something like that, that we've been teaching Amazon strategies, as long as Amazon's been a thing. We've been doing it a long time. We've been teaching e-commerce for over 20 years. Had nearly 10,000 coaching students come through our program over those 20 plus years. Same coaching director the entire time. We're very proud of what we've built. If you want to have a conversation with us about your e-commerce plans, where you are now, where you're trying to go, maybe you're coming from very humble beginnings, maybe you're completely clueless and new to all of this, we've been doing it a long time. We've helped a lot of people. We'd love to talk to you. Go to silentjim.com/book-a-call. Get on our calendar. Let's have a conversation. Well, let's talk about the topic for today, and then I'll introduce you to Brian and Robin Joy. I told you a little bit about them a moment ago, but the overall topic, the overall theme is recognizing the opportunity that's presented by Amazon. If you weren't aware, here's some basic numbers. If you've been around a while, you've heard me say a couple of these things before, but Amazon represents nearly half of all activity online in the United States every day. The retail sales happening on Amazon are half of the action. And there's a whole bunch of people, millions, who aren't price sensitive, but instead they are speed sensitive. And once you understand that what you're really doing as a reseller on Amazon isn't competing with all the other sellers trying to get the best price. Well, sure, in some cases that's happening. But in many, many cases, and there's no tool that will ever show you this data, there's no way to track it or prove it until you try it. But in many cases, customers are willing to pay far more for the convenience of the speed of delivery. And I gave you that example a couple minutes ago. This helps illustrate some of the points that you're going to hear Brian and Robin Joy make today. So that place where you can go to grab that free item as much as you want, whereas if you move a couple hundred yards away, you're going to have to pay several dollars for it. I'm talking about the airport in Indianapolis. As you're coming into the airport in Indianapolis, if you've never done this, I don't know if other airports do it or not, but there's a nice, huge water cooler station. It's a big refrigerator looking thing, you know, with a glass door, you pull it open, like a convenience store might have, but they keep it stocked with bottles of water, nice bottles of water, like the same thing that you'd pay maybe a dollar for, you know, if you're buying them at a grocery store, or $2 for if you're buying them at a convenience store, or $4 or $5 if you're at a ballpark, baseball game, something like that. Well, you can grab one, you can grab two, you can grab one for everyone in your family, each person in your family can grab them. But you're only a couple hundred yards away from getting into the airport. Now you have to go through security. You're going to throw it away. Once you're on the other side of security, which is just a couple hundred yards away from these free water bottles, well, now you're going to pay $2, $3, $4 for a bottle of water in an airport, right? Isn't that interesting? Just talking about the convenience, the location. One of the other lessons that popped in my head as I was listening to today's episode, and I'm recording this intro, obviously, after I've heard the lessons from our main presenters today, is in the Hebrew tradition, it's understood that there's only two business models. All business models either involve the palms of your hand or the soles of your feet. What's that mean? Well, the palms of your hand is when you make something, create something. This includes anything that you might think into existence, something you might write or speak, right? The creative capacity of us as humans is incredible. So we have so many things we can create and build. And the other one is the soles of your feet, which is transferring something from one place where it's got lower perceived value to another place of higher perceived value. Both business models are seen as virtuous and necessary and ethical and a great way to serve other people. A lot of what we do on Amazon is the latter, moving products from a place of low convenience, low value, to a place of higher convenience and then higher value. The ultimate example is one that my good friend, Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who's actually the keynote speaker at our upcoming conference, I'll tell you more about that in just a moment if you don't know about it. But he says, imagine, if you will, an iceberg floating in the middle of the Atlantic. It's really of no use to anybody. It's just a hazard. But if we transport that thing, as you know, icebergs are freshwater. There's no salt in them. So you transport that iceberg to the middle of, say, the Sahara Desert, somehow, at great expense and difficult, of course, to do. But let's just imagine how much more valuable it would be there than where it was before. All you've done is move it from one place to another, and now the value is a lot higher. Well, let's take what we do on Amazon as an example. A lot of times, well, I've given over 100 examples of this in my own business in the past couple of months. We are selling products for well above what the customer could pay at Walmart or a convenience store near them, or even other Amazon sellers selling right alongside of us. But what we offer in exchange for that higher price is the convenience of super fast, in some cases, an hour or two. The product is on the customer's front porch. I know my family shops this way. You probably have too. You've been on Amazon and you see maybe there's 30 sellers selling an item with different delivery dates attached to them. Then there's that one person, that one seller, that one option that offers you the chance to have it on your front porch within an hour or two. If you live in a prime now area, one of the major cities in the United States, that's quite often an option that you can take. And typically it is a little more expensive, yes, but a lot of people don't care. Millions of shoppers every day don't care. So hopefully these lessons are starting to drive home that the reselling game on Amazon is not about having the best price or winning the buy box against all the other sellers, as much as it is quite often about having products that are available, high demand products that are available for super fast delivery by sending your inventory to FBA and letting Amazon take the logistics of the operation and get that product to a customer super fast. And if you're charging a premium for that, a lot of people will still jump on it because they want it fast and they'll be grateful that you made that opportunity available to them. The only last thing I got to say before we jump into today's episode is, hey, the conference. I told you I was going to tell you a little bit about that. Brian and Robin Joy, who you're about to meet, the great Coach's Corner episodes we do typically every Wednesday on this podcast. They're two of 60 great coaches we have on our team. A bunch of them are going to be at our conference along with, we've got nearly 500 people registered. Here we are, we're coming up to several weeks out still, but over 500 people registered by the time you hear this. I think we'd have 600 plus easily register for this event in Orlando, May 23rd through 25th. Go to this website. It's three words. Ready? The Proven Conference. Three words. Theprovenconference.com. Get registered. Come on down. You'll see all the great coaches from our team, a lot of the most successful students in our community who have built beautiful businesses. They're going to be presenting about the businesses they've built, exactly what's working right now. This is a multiple income stream e-commerce community, meaning we're not just talking about Amazon. Amazon's going to be maybe, I don't know, a third or a half of the conversations that are there and the breakout sessions. The other half is things like Walmart. We've even got some TikTok that we're adding on this year. We've got eBay experts there. We've got all kinds of really great topics. Get to the website and see what all we've got planned for you. It's going to be a tremendous event. We'd love to see you there. I know this was a longer introduction, but I was very excited about the topic today. Had to get my two bits in there. And now we're going to invite Brian and Robin Joy to finish this episode out. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to Silent Sales Machine Radio. We are your co-hosts. I'm Brian.
And I'm Robin Joy.
And this is Coach's Corner. Gosh, Robin, we've got a great set of things we're going to talk about today. I want to kick it off with a commonly asked question we see for from a lot of new coaching clients mm-hmm. and a lot of new people coming into the community, mm-hmm. which is what?
What? The question is what? The question actually is, why would someone buy from us at this high price that we have to charge in order to make money instead of just going down to Walmart and grabbing it the same way we do for $3.99 or whatever it is? Why are they going to pay us $25 for the thing that we just went down to Walmart and paid?
Pay $8 for?
Yeah.
Love yeah. this topic. It's one of my favorite things to chat about.
We get this question a lot.
and
I understand why.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, if we could buy it for, you know, less, we would drive across town
sure.
to buy it for less.
Oh, we used to make fun of my grandmother who would gather up all her coupons and just drive to all these stores all over town because she uh-huh. had a coupon for that store. Mm-hmm. And of course she, you know, we made fun of her because she weighs more gas than the 30 cents that she saved in using these coupons.
Not to her face, I hope.
No, of course not. Never, never. Not grandmother. Notice how we call her grandmother.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Okay, well, it is a great point, and I like to just set the foundation so that we're all approaching this from the same angle.
Okay.
Okay, in order to move forward with this. So what I want to chat about is the products that we can see in multiple marketplaces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we're looking for, let's say, a bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
we might go into our local grocery store mm-hmm. and that bottle could be selling for $1.99.
Okay.
Okay. Then we go into the convenience store, which is just down the street, half a block away. That same bottle of water is selling for $2.99 or $3.99.
Mm-hmm. Same bottle, same brand, same size.
Everything about it, same UPC,
mm-hmm.
right? But it has a different price in the convenience store
sure.
than it does in the grocery store. And then you go into the airport and that exact same bottle of water might cost you $6.
Yes.
Okay. Now this is that particular, the airport model doesn't, I think we could dig into it. It's not necessarily convenience. It's more about a captive audience.
Right.
Why we're paying more for that.
Sure.
But I would venture to guess that even if there were a big old Walmart in, you know, on the edge of the airport or the convenience store that you just had to walk five steps in, grab the bottle of water, pay $6 for it and get out, that the convenience, the little gift shop would still sell a ton of water.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because yeah. of the pain of going into that huge Walmart
store,
or
the walking, the lines,
it takes. I don't have that kind of time.
Let me check your receipt and your bags before you leave.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
all of that. The unpleasantness that can go along with that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then we can find that exact same bottle of water at a warehouse club. So Sam's, Costco, BJ's, sure. whatever, mm-hmm. for 49 cents, but we got to buy a pack of 24 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you can see that exact same product across multiple marketplaces can have different prices. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And what's the difference here? And the reason people charge different, it's a different market. People are looking for different things. If I'm looking for convenience, mm-hmm. I'm willing to pay for it. I don't have the time to go through a Sam's and buy a 24-pack and split it up. I just want to run into the gas station and grab my $1.52.99 water, right?
This is a perfectly acceptable way of doing business. It's mm-hmm. called arbitrage.
Yep.
And arbitrage exists in stocks, bonds, securities, any product or service that you can think of.
Sure.
There's an arbitrage model. The person, the kid, selling lemonade on the corner mm-hmm. is arbitraging that lemonade mix.
So essentially, yeah, you're buying in one market uh-huh. or buying ingredients and putting them together uh-huh. and selling in another market.
Yeah.
So if I bought that $1.99 bottle of water and I sold it down the street in the convenience store for $2.99,
mm-hmm.
that's arbitrage.
That's
right?
arbitrage.
Have I got it?
Right.
Okay.
Taking the difference between what you paid for it in one market and what you sold it for in another market. That is arbitrage.
And finding profit in between.
And this is ethically acceptable,
yes.
morally acceptable. I mean, some might argue with the $6 bottle of water at the airport, but you know, if we set up the test, I bet we're still going to get a lot of people who pay $6
sure.
when they could pay $1.
I think so.
Right?
I probably would in a lot of cases.
So just get over the fact that, oh, I feel like I'm taking advantage of someone or whatever. No, you're not. People, if they don't want to pay for
choice.
It, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and there's that other issue of the fact that some people are not able to get out. So there are reasons that people would pay more. They don't have the time. Usually they just don't have the time.
Usually it's a time inconvenience, man. Like people who can't afford to buy time, buy it through mm-hmm. convenience.
I know I do all the time. Those of you who buy from Amazon, you know you're doing it and you do it anyway. Those of you who buy from the convenience store because you happen to be getting gas, you know you do that sometimes. Not everybody. I've right. got a couple of friends that would not.
Yes. Well, what's interesting to me
they are not our target market.
We were talking about different marketplaces and potentially platforms and locations, right?
Right?
So a convenience store, a grocery store, an airport, location, mm-hmm. A warehouse store, whatever. But we see this even in Amazon and the regional marketplaces that exist on Amazon. A product that is priced for a consumer in one part of the country, that same product is priced differently for a different consumer in a different part of the country.
And why is that, Brian?
Well, this is the distribution model that Amazon has set up. Remember, Amazon is, as much as, you know, they profits they make reselling products, they're really a highly agile and highly efficient logistics company. They know how to get products in front of the customers who are going to be buying them and get it there in 4 to 8 hours, same day, next day, whatever it is, right? So the reason that they might have a different price for a consumer from where compared to where I am is that the inventory is located nearer, more close to to that shopper.
Yes, that's right. So that means that if I pull up the same ASIN as you pull up mm-hmm. in a different part, we're in Denver, so maybe you're in Miami, and you pull it up, you might get a different price, and that requires a different seller. Sellers don't have different prices. They choose their price. So you might see a different seller in the buy box or in the featured price than I might see because Amazon knows which to show you, which one they can get to you quicker.
And we are constantly on the hunt for these examples.
Yes.
Here's the evidence that this exists.
We see them a lot, though. Once we've started looking, we see them all the time.
Now we know how to reproduce it.
We do.
Okay. And it's not some rocket science thing that we figured is really it was an oh duh moment, right?
Oh duh moment.
So we do, as everyone knows, a lot of coaching, and we're working with coaching clients and we are demonstrating things a lot. And so what we'll do is we'll go open up our Amazon browser and change the location to their zip code. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to help them get an idea of what things look like in their area. And then what happens? You forget to change it back. And I'm going in there trying to make a personal order.
Right.
And Amazon's telling me, I can't deliver, like your address is wrong. And I'm like, what is going on with my address? Well, then I figured out what was going on. You've got it set to a different zip code that I'm trying to have it delivered to.
With the client.
And Amazon's choking on that.
Yeah.
And it says, this doesn't work. So then what happens? If I set my delivery address to actually the zip code that you were saying, and look at that price, it's different than the price that when I go in and set it for my own address.
And now, we see this.
Not on every single product.
No, not at all. Not at all. But we do see this commonly because we work with clients all over the world and they're looking at the same ASIN I'm looking at. We both have it pulled up on our own screens and we see two different prices and two different sellers in the buy box.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're looking for ASINs to test.
So what you're saying then is that like we're basically running a convenience store when we're reselling on Amazon in some cases.
I would say that's kind of our target, yes. In a convenience store, think about what it looks like when you go into a convenience store, a gas station store, 7-Eleven, things like that. When you go in there, they don't have the deep shelves. They don't have just four items and, you know, they have a very limited amount of floor space and shelf space. And they use that fully. They get as many items in there as possible because they don't want to have to buy a whole bunch of stuff to see if it's going to sell or not. They don't have the space for it. They put many more things on the face of the shelves so that you can choose a lot of items, right?
Right. So first of all,
yeah,
they have a very small footprint compared to the Walmarts and whatever, yes. right? And the warehouse stores, very, very small footprint, but they want to get as many items in that small amount of square footage as they can.
Right.
So as a result, it looks completely different when you walk in. Cause you mm-hmm. know, when you walk into a Walmart or a Target or wherever, the shelves are high, six, right. 7, 8 feet sometimes, and they can be 2 feet deep. And it's stacked with product, right?
Right, and have the cases behind, and then they open the cases when you get done with that.
Overstock on the top.
Yeah.
Right? Again, you walk into a convenience store, you can see from the front to the back of the store because the shelves are not that high. Even me, right. I'm not that tall. I can see from the front to the back of the store, right?
Sometimes if there aren't too many tall people standing in there.
I can, most of the time, I can see totally across. I can see the whole store with, when I walk in and take the 300 whatever degree view, 180 degree view of what's going on in there. So, but the shelves are not as deep.
Right.
They're not as tall, but they don't have this
for. There aren't as many of them.
There aren't as many shelves, right. And everything's stacked up around the counters and the end caps. I mean, they're trying to maximize the amount of space that they have in there.
That's right.
And the, totally lost what I was going to say there.
Well, what happens is, they have end caps and things as well. And so they're testing, are people going to buy this or not? Let's just put it on an end cap before I, devote shelf space to it and see if it's going to sell or not. This kind of a model where you have a lot of a few things, you offer your customer as many options as possible.
So this would be the opposite of what you said, which would be a few of a lot of things.
A few of a lot. As opposed to a few of a lot of things.
Right.
As opposed to, I could fit four items if I had 100 each of those. Maybe I could fit 20 items in there. Or what's usually the case, is that they have 100, 200 or 300 items in the store, but only a dozen of each, say.
Yeah, say instead of having 100 of four different units, if your storage space was 1,600 units, you would want four of 400 different units.
Yes.
Right? Which is what we do from a replens perspective.
Right.
Realizing that, we try and balance that out so it's not really four, but whatever whatever it is,
This is more closer to our model.
We're not buying for 6 months at a time. We're buying more for 6 weeks at a time.
Exactly. We need our money to turn.
Yes.
Turn. And so when we look at it that way, we realize, why do they do that? Their target customer is somebody who needs to come in, reach, and go quickly. They do not have time to walk all the way through the store to find that one bottle of water that they need. They need to know where that bottle of water is and get there within a few steps and get out as quickly as possible. This is the model that we have when we're selling on the Amazon platform, because especially FBA, when we're selling to prime customers, because yes, people pay more at that convenience store for that bottle of water. They pay more because it's easy to get in and out. Their time is not worth it to go down to the Sam's Club and go all the way to the back, find that, stand in line forever in holding up this heavy 24-pack, and then take it out to the car and break it up without even, a bag, right? This is not what they're doing right now. Those models are great, but that's not who we're competing with. Our target customer is the guy who's going in, wants to reach it, and get out quickly. Amazon platform offers this. Not only is it easy to get in and get out with one click, but it also gets delivered to my door. I don't even have to go to the convenience store to get it. This is a high-value model for the customer, and that's why they pay for it, because it's valuable to them.
And through the magic of editing, you didn't know this, but right in the middle of this recording, we had to stop and go take the groceries that got delivered right to our front door.
Yes,
that we ordered last night. Well, before we go to bed, they deliver first thing in the morning, and boom, now I don't have to go shopping.
Right.
Right. It's just so stinking easy. The convenience of this is amazing. So it is way easier for me to go into the convenience store, get that bottle of water, than it is to go to Costco, like you said, stand in line, buy the 24-pack, break it up. And people do pay for this convenience.
Right.
All the time.
And the people who do pay for this convenience, those are our target market. Not the people who would, like a couple of our friends we mentioned, they would go to Costco just for the bottle of water because it's a whole lot cheaper. They're not my target market, and they never buy from my store.
So if we think about this, let's say the 7-Eleven model, because I think 7-Eleven's pretty well known nationwide, right? Did you know that 7-Eleven has their own brands of foodstuffs and water?
You can find a 7-Eleven bottle of water.
7-Eleven bottle of water, Slurpee. a great 7-Eleven brand, right? Mm-hmm. Big Gulp, another 7-Eleven brand.
Right.
And that's not unlike us doing our own branded stuff or private listings right. on the Amazon platform. They are not any less expensive.
No.
Right? In some cases more.
Yes.
Because of the brand.
Because of convenience.
Actually, Slurpee may not be 7-Eleven, but that may have been a partnership.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, with the big polar bear. But anyway, our goal then is to go make this convenience store. We want to fill all the shelves, not with just a few products, but with as many products as we can.
Yes.
Okay. And we do this by testing a lot of different products to find the ones that sell. Not unlike a convenience store who's, say, they're trying to maximize the profitability that they have in this two or three foot section of shelving. They want to maximize the sales velocity that they can achieve in that little section. So they're constantly optimizing what's selling, what's not selling.
Yes, they are.
So, and they're optimizing their store for the things that sell the most and offer them the best profit. So it's not about getting to that, 49 cents. It's about maximizing the profitability with the sales velocity.
Right. And this also goes into testing ASINs. They don't devote that shelf space. They don't carve that shelf space out for something that they haven't tested yet. And often you will see, and this is not the only reason they put things on end caps, but in this analogy, we would put things on the end cap, just a few things, see if people are picking those up or not at that price. We may adjust the price a little, see if that makes a change. It either goes or it doesn't. If it goes, we're going to devote shelf space to it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, we're going to remove that and put something else on that shelf in that end cap to see if it's going to sell.
What does a convenience store have over any other store, even that maybe specializes in a particular type of product of products?
Now you're trying to trick me. This is not on the script. I don't know. I don't know what.
I was just thinking of the last time so we live in a snowy place. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't snow sometimes all the time, but when it does, it does. And then when you run out of washer fluid.
Yes, in your car,
you got to stop and buy washer fluid. And
windshield
washer fluid. So I walk into the convenience store, where I bought gas, and the gas was priced very competitively.
Right.
Not that I pay attention to how much gas costs anymore, but I'm like, okay, this is a reasonable price, I think. Whatever, it's going down, so I'm all about it.
Gotta have gas, whatever the price is.
Right? Go inside to buy the washer fluid, which they have stacked.
Because they know.
Out front, right? And do you know how much I paid for that?
What?
Okay, I know. Washer fluid,
what does it cost? Like
we have a little.
49 cents a gallon?
We have a little thing going, like, the first one to mention a price loses, right? We got to put money in the jar or whatever. But I paid $5.
You say the price, you got to pay the price.
$5.99 for this gallon of washer fluid, which I know that if I had gone to the auto parts store, I would have been able to get it for 79 or 99 cents.
Yes.
There's just no two ways about it. I paid dramatically over. But guess what I didn't have to do? I didn't have to look at where an auto parts store was.
Right.
I didn't have to drive there.
Take the chance that I'm going to drive over there and it's going to be the same price.
Potentially. Right. I can, like, just in the same stream of my motion, just stop in there, buy the thing, fill it up, and then go on about my business. I don't have to take a detour to go find this washer fluid. And so, yes, that was worth the $4 extra that I would have paid, or $5, whatever it was, for my time.
I absolutely agree. And you are our target customer. I know.
And we're all that target customer at some point or another. It's not like we have to have this dedicated group of people who are the only ones that pay for convenience ever.
No, that's right.
Everyone pays for convenience at some point or another, and likely multiple times.
And we are those people. You went to the convenience store to buy the expensive windshield washer fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, you may go to Sam's Club and do all of your regular shopping there. Happens to be when you're doing that. So this is the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Just the target is for those situations, those people in those situations.
Yeah. Good. So this is also much easier for us to manage. If we think about our Amazon store as a convenience store, I don't have to have 130,000 products that I'm tracking.
Mm-hmm.
I can have 400.
Well, right. Just like the convenience store, I have several products that I have a little bit of shelf space for. Mm-hmm. And if that stops selling well for me and I need that shelf space for something else, I can quickly and easily turn that over. Whereas if I'm in a Sam's, I got a bunch of stock to find something to do with before I can make that turn.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. So easier to manage. So what we offer is more like that convenience store model. And I think we should price accordingly, right? It's easier to order from Amazon, like I said. Even if we go to Walmart and get it cheaper, it's easier to order from Amazon. And they deliver it to your door. This is what we talked about before. The value is high. Not only is it quick and easy for me to go into the convenience store, but I can click a button on Amazon on the computer that I'm already on or on my phone.
Talk about convenience. That's the ultimate inconvenience.
And I don't even have to go to the convenience store.
I don't know.
It shows up at my door.
I could just go to the convenience store, which is uber convenient. Or I could click a button.
Yes.
And that's like the pinnacle of convenience.
That's right. That's right.
Or a tap.
And it's going to show up at my door.
Yeah.
Right? So if we compare ourselves to the lowest price item.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get into the platform. We're on Amazon. If we can compare ourselves to the lowest price item, then we might be targeting the wrong customers. If we choose our price and serve that customer who's in that situation well, then we're going to not be disappointed when it's hard to compete.
Right. If we are chasing the buy box, and don't get me wrong, this is in many cases, the buy box can be more than sufficient for you to be profitable. But if you're pricing not at the buy box and you're getting the customers who are paying for that convenience, then there are two outcomes here. The one is if you're taking your item that you're going to make a very small amount of profit on because you're selling it at the buy box, then you could be disappointed with the result at the end of that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't make as much money as I thought. We get this a lot too. We're doing a business health check. Like, well, I'm just not making as much money as I thought I was going to on this. Well, where are you pricing your items at?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything is priced at the buy box. Well, so just reset your expectations. That could be okay.
Change some of that and adjust your book of business.
Mm-hmm.
But our target market here, we're working on time and convenience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our target market is not necessarily the price that's going to show to us. Our target is wherever our items happen to be in a warehouse. We can't control that. But those customers who are closest to there are the ones who are going to see our price,
mm-hmm.
often in the buy box, even though we don't know it. So those are our target customers.
Okay, I like it. And if we are doing that strategy, if we're pricing based on convenience,
yes,
then we should not be, we shouldn't be trying to compete on price before our products are even available for the customer to buy.
Right. If they're not available for anyone to buy within the time that an Amazon customer expects, especially a Prime customer, expects 48 hours or less, if it's not even at the warehouse yet because it's available, you know, 7 to 10 days down the road because of the in-stock Head Start program, we don't need to start repricing yet. We're not competing yet, and we're not going to win in most cases.
Exactly.
Rarely are we going to win that battle. So when you turn your repricer on right away, as soon as that item gets in there and it starts chasing that buy box, you're dipping before you need to, in my opinion.
Agreed. Wait till it's available and then price based on convenience.
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. You got a quote for us?
I do. Oh, you're giving away my nickname.
Oh, I always call him buddy. We call each other buddy.
And our grandkids call us grandbuddies.
Yes, they do. Awesome. Yes, they do. It's pretty cool.
Okay, I do have a quote. And this quote comes to us from T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far they can go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll never know how far you can go if you're not trying to stretch it, right?
That's right. That's right. Push through, and look for those other opportunities.
Well, and set or think about things in a much grander fashion than we tend to.
We say that all the time. We're thinking too small.
Yeah, think bigger.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. So when we're trying to fully face our store, make sure we have enough products and we're testing those end caps and we want to make sure that our customers have plenty of options from us. What cures that?
More ASINs.
Let's go test more ASINs.
All right. Let's go get some more ASINs so we can stock our store.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us for today's episode. Before I let you go, I've got my good friend, Mr. Jeff Schick, a great sponsor of this show, a great servant of the community. He, of course, is available for all things Amazon legal and policy. He serves hundreds of sellers in our community, and he always has an interesting quick tip and topic for us about once a week. What do you got for us today, Jeff?
Well, I have an interesting one about Walmart and other marketplace third-party sellers. So this has actually happened. Two people in 1 week have come to me with issues. One of them is suspended because they purchased products from a third-party seller and they were accused of the products being counterfeit. And we reached out to the brand, and the brand actually provided us with a lab report showing that the product that the seller was selling was counterfeit. So it creates a very interesting case that we're now working on, because the seller, you know, it's not just one of these bogus counterfeit without a test buy claims. It's actually really counterfeit. And so it's a warning that you have, you know, when sourcing products, Walmart's a great source if you're buying from walmart.com itself as the seller. But so far, we've seen a really high percentage of issues from Walmart third-party sellers, because Walmart just doesn't have the verifications in place that Amazon has to prevent counterfeit sellers. And so I'd like to say this is the first, but this is probably not even the fifth or sixth case that we've worked on now for sellers who bought actual counterfeit product from a Walmart third-party seller.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's just
learning to distinguish, am I buying from Walmart or a third-party seller who's selling on Walmart, is very important. And yeah, we've emphasized that for a long time around here. Don't buy from third-party sellers on Walmart. That's not going to be good enough. But it sounds like there's actually some people kind of catching some heat for that now.
Correct. And these products are all over the board. So we've seen it from cosmetics to toys to games and, you know, just all sorts of products that are, you know, they're being sold on Walmart that you'd be like, they counterfeited that. And yeah, sure enough, they do. And so,
wow.
So you have to watch out for it, because, you know, Amazon, at the end of the day, they care about keeping a marketplace that consumers can trust. And if they find that you're selling counterfeit products, they're not very forgiving. Initially, we've so far been able to get people back, but it just takes a while, because we have to show that you have to really show real change to your supply chain and explain why you should get another chance, because they know that you weren't doing a good job beforehand. So you have to show what's different. So it's a reminder, you know, Walmart has third-party sellers, Newegg, Target even has third-party sellers now. I'm trying to think of all the different marketplaces we've seen. There's the new site called TEMU, I'm completely opposed to, yeah, as well.
I haven't heard a success story out of that yet. I mean, if you want to pick up some cheap stuff for your own family, perhaps, but certainly don't buy anything there that you intend to resell.
Correct.
That's for me. I'm not a lawyer. That's just friendly advice from Jim. Yeah, exactly. I know you don't like to call out sites specifically, but I've yet to hear a success story there. I've heard some crazy stuff happening already.
Yeah, Temu is probably on long par. Like, I would trust it as much as I trust Craigslist at this point. Yeah. Maybe even a bit less.
So I'm with you.
Facebook Marketplace, again, not a valid supply chain. Nope. eBay, not a valid. I have someone right now actually being sued. Recent settlement offer was $40,000 because they were selling counterfeit products that they were purchasing from eBay.
Because someone else is doing it and showing some success and excited about their success doesn't mean you should go down that path. I mean, to be clear, and correct me if I state this wrong, Jeff, but
yeah,
if it's an authorized distributor, if you could call the brand headquarters and say, hey, I just bought your products from this website, from this seller, from this chain, is that legitimate? You want them to say, absolutely, yes, it's legitimate. No question. Right. They're awesome. Anything less than that, you're rolling the dice.
Correct. And some brands will actually clear it. Like, for instance, when I used to be an authorized distributor for one of the pet shampoos, you could actually call, you know, Vincent, who was in charge of sales, and say, hey, I'm buying from Pet Shampoo World. And he would say, yeah, I sell to them. I know exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. And then if Amazon, when they would call, he'd say, yeah, I sold to them. I issued that invoice, and that's what you want. So
that's an invoice with your name on it, not a conglomerating party that's buying all this stuff up and then selling it to you with their name on the invoice. You want your name on the invoice. You want it from a legitimate distributor. And there are millions of opportunities out there, but you start cutting these corners, and we're seeing Amazon is, you know, they're just a little quicker to flip that switch, and they're a little slower to get you back on the platform these days, is what I'm feeling a vibe of.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're definitely, they're taking their time because they want to, you know, gone are the days where you can just write a really good plan of action and say, this is what happened, this is how it won't happen again, and this is what we're doing to make sure it never happens again. They're not really interested in that anymore. Now they're really looking for, you know, like for instance, in one of our cases last year where the seller sold counterfeit stuff, the seller actually had to go out, acquire new distributor accounts at real distributors. And then we had to work with Amazon's attorneys and say, look, they set up these distributor accounts at these national companies that are verified by the brands. These are the brands they intend to sell. And their attorneys actually had to validate all of this before. And then when they came back and said, okay, but your seller's going to be on a watch list. And if we see that they're not doing this, then we're going to have another conversation and it's going to be a termination conversation. Wow. So
yeah, they're not playing around. You know, and that presents a huge opportunity. Those of us who are doing it right, paying attention to these details, hiring you, Jeff, to have you help monitor. I loved what you said at the conference here just a few days ago. You spoke on stage for a couple of minutes and said, you know, my job is to help prevent you from getting into these kind of issues. So you've got the service now. Why don't you tell us about that briefly, the new service you have to help keep sellers out of trouble. If there's rules you're not even aware of, you can have someone else looking over things.
Absolutely. So we actually have three full-time employees that work for me. We actually set up an office. And so we've got three full-time employees that used to work for Amazon. And they go in and they're from the seller performance team. And they go and check your account for any sort of future potential violations. So one of our team members, he was there for 13 years. He managed 30 Amazon seller performance associates. Another team member was at Amazon for 2 years and worked on the A to Z claims, order defect rates, and basically the customer service issues that sellers faced. And then another team member, she is coming on board next week, and she actually was one of the seller performance risk management investigators. So she's the one who would get the notification that, hey, this account might be doing something wrong. And she would actually do the investigation and look for that wrongdoing and then recommend whether to suspend the person or not.
So these people have now left Amazon. They're now on your team helping us keep our accounts healthy. And it's a very reasonably priced program. How can folks go check that out?
Absolutely. So the first thing you have to do is you have to sign up for our retainer, the $89 a month one. And then you just shoot to us an email and say, hey, I want to upgrade. And then we have a special price for members of the community. And you just let us know, hey, I'm in Jim's community. And it's $179 a month total. So it's, you know, $89 for the regular retainer, an extra $89 for this, you know, for our team to actually be proactively monitoring your account. We're calling it Account Health Pro. And we go in 3 times a week. We send you an email every time we go into your account, letting you know what we found, take care of any issues that we can. And if there's anything that we need to create legal cases for, we create those cases and then get the relevant information from y'all and handle it in-house. So that way it's just A to Z. You guys don't have to worry about your account health management anymore. And we take care of it for you. So
fantastic. Man, I want to talk to you more about this and dig into that a little deeper. We've kind of run out of time for today, but that's tremendous that you guys are doing that. And you guys are the ones that we trust with my account. So, you know, that's about as big of an endorsement that I could give is, hey, this is the guy that I trust. And we're turning on these services with you guys and excited to do so. So get over to jeffschick.com, S-C-H-I-C-K, just like the razor, and check out what he has to offer. Always appreciate you seeing you, Jeff. And we're going to do this again next week, right?
Sounds good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentjim.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.